Welcome to episode 2 of Quality Talk. In our last podcast, we talked about Dr. Deming's history and involvement in developing the quality practices used in successful manufacturing companies today. The foundation of Dr. Deming's success are summarized by what he called the 14 points. He developed the 14 points to share his knowledge in understandable chunks. While they are fairly easy to understand, actually implementing them is harder than they may seem. Let's walk through Dr. Deming's 14 points. The 14 points for quality control apply anywhere to small organizations as well as to large ones. That's important to understand. Point number 1, create constancy of purpose toward improvement of product and service with a plan to become competitive and to stay in business. Decide whom top management is responsible to. This first one is directly related to what we talked about in the first episode of this podcast. Deming believed that it was management's responsibility to make sure everybody was on the same page. Everybody's using the same playbook. That makes sense, right? Point number 2. Adopt the new philosophy. We are in a new economic age. We can no longer live with commonly accepted levels of delays, mistakes, defective materials, and defective workmanship. So what's he getting at with this one? Well, Deming often called the employees of a manufacturing company the willing workers. And he honestly believed that it was nearly never the willing workers' fault when something was manufactured incorrectly, when a defect is made. He also was quite outspoken about waste and said that defects are not free. We have to pay for them. So what he's trying to get at with the adopt a new philosophy is that we can no longer live with the idea that delays and mistakes and defective materials and defective workmanship just happen. There's a reason that they happen. All right, let's move on to point number 3. Cease dependence on mass inspection. Require instead statistical evidence that quality is built in. To eliminate need for inspection on a mass basis, purchasing managers have a new job and must learn it. There's a lot in this point. First of all, what he's getting at is if you only use inspection to control quality, you're only finding it after you made a mistake. That seems like a problem. So if we build it into the culture that everyone cares about quality from the beginning, that will actually fundamentally change the system. So why is purchasing in here? Let's stop and think about that for a minute. Purchasing agents often think that they're always out for the best price, that their job is purchasing managers and employees, they're supposed to get the best quote. Deming's point is that we need to build relationships not only within our own quality culture within our own organization, but that we also need to go beyond that and build relationships with vendors. Interesting. Point number 4, end the practice of awarding business on the basis of price tag. Instead, depend on meaningful measures of quality. So again, we see a reference to not always thinking about cost or price. So that we start to build relationships within the supply chain rather than focusing on saving a penny, saving a dime, getting the best discount. Point number 5, find problems. It is management's job to work continually on the system, design, incoming materials, composition of material, maintenance, improvement of machines, training, supervision, and maybe retraining. Find the problems. And Deming clashed in the early years with the American management, which you might remember from the first episode of the podcast. Point number 5 really gets to this, where he is really saying, it's all on you, management. It's all your responsibility. So when something goes wrong, you don't point the finger at the willing workers. You look at the system and you say, how did the system fail to allow for this defect or wrong turn or poor decision? Interesting. All right, point number six, institute modern methods of training on the job. Deming was all about making people's jobs better. He really, truly cared about the individual employee who was trying to do a good job. He also believed that every human being honestly tries his or her best until the system changes their perspective for the worse. I always thought that was one of the most fascinating things about him. So, in this point, he is emphasizing the need for methods of training that actually will assist the willing workers to do their job better. Point number seven, institute modern methods of supervision of production workers. So he had a lot of opinions about this one. He really believed that supervision should be more coaching, more mentoring, more helping the willing workers to do their jobs, and much less of the top-down, for at the time, military management style. You do the job that we tell you to do, and that's all you need to know. He really valued that people should understand how they contribute to the whole system, and that creates the willing worker attitude. On to point number eight. Drive out fear so that everyone may work effectively for the company. This one should have an exclamation mark at the end. Drive out fear. What a concept. And really, when he pitched that, think in the 1950s. The management style was nearly purely the military style, top down. Fear was a tool that was used often. So driving out fear so that people could be allowed to make mistakes and learn from them, be allowed to voice their opinions, even if they were at the bottom of the organizational chart, that was really groundbreaking, and it continues to be groundbreaking in many institutions today. Point number nine, break down barriers between departments. This point really gets to tear down the silos. Get engineering and manufacturing working together. Bring sales in so we can hear their insight. Talk to the purchasing people and see whether or not our specs are clear for them to actually do their job purchasing components. Get everybody on the same team rather than all separate teams working for separate goals. Point number 10. Eliminate numerical goals, posters, and slogans for the workforce asking for new levels of productivity without providing methods. This point was actually rephrased by Deming to clarify. It was rephrased to eliminate slogans, exhortations, and targets for the workforce asking for zero defects and new levels of productivity. Such exhortations only create adversarial relationships, as the bulk of the causes of low quality and low productivity belong to the system and thus lie beyond the power of the workforce. So again, what he's getting at is hanging up banners saying zero defects, hanging up banners that say do it right the first time, really doesn't do anything to change the system that the willing workers have to function in. So rather than hanging a banner, figure out how to fundamentally change the system so that the willing workers are free to do a good job. Crazy, right? To me, this is groundbreaking, and it still is in 2018. Point number 11, eliminate work standards and prescribe numerical quotas. So what he's getting at here is that standards of work that don't help the willing worker do their job. For example, a standard of work that says I need to make 10 widgets a minute without a design of the system that supports that rate of work only again traps the willing worker who is destined to fail and end up hating coming to work every day. So you eliminate work standards and numerical quotas because you want to put the power with the willing worker so that if the willing worker sees an issue, they can bring it to anyone's attention so it can be rectified, fixed, improved. Or with no numerical quota, the willing worker might actually be faster, more productive because there's no number they're shooting for. There's no thing they have to accomplish other than being a willing worker. I know this sounds crazy, right? But there's studies today about freeing up employees' minds and hearts so that they can become a more productive part of the organization. That's what we're talking about in this class, right? Point number 12, remove barriers that stand between the hourly worker and his right to pride of workmanship. Well, there he just says it in black and white. Anything that makes a willing worker feel devalued and outside the system, out of control of their own destiny, should be removed. Those are barriers to the right to pride of workmanship. Point number 13, institute a vigorous program of education and retraining. Deming believed that employees or willing workers should be allowed to learn anything they want to learn, that the company should support learning in any way. He honestly believed that if a willing worker who worked in a manufacturing company wanted to learn how to play the piano, that the company should support that and look at that as making him a better employee. That might sound crazy in a world where corporate mentality is that we'll pay your tuition, but it has to be related to your job. How would learning to play the piano possibly make you a better willing worker? Come to find out, if you study organizational culture and you start to look around and research on your own, that things like learning to play the piano can do a multitude of things. For example, it can open your mind to creativity. It can reduce stress, which could then lead to fewer missed work days. It really is amazing when you start to learn more about how encouraging employees to make their whole life better can actually impact the organization and lead everybody to the same goal. Point number 14. This is the last point. Create a structure in top management that will push every day on the above 13 points. So that one's pretty much go back to number one and start all over again. It was very big on improving the system. You're never done improving the system. I want to end this podcast with some information from the American Society for Quality regarding Dr. Deming. So the ASQ writes, in rare moments when he was not pursuing his mission, Deming polished his skills as an organist and a music composer. His version of the national anthem, which addresses people's inability to hit all the notes, serves as a metaphor for one of his points for management. Don't blame the singers, or the willing workers, if the song is written poorly, like the system is the problem. Instead, rewrite the music or fix the system. In life and in art, Deming simply wanted to make it easier for people to sing.